morning, Radio Land. We're coming to you live from the Pickup Country 104.9 Irvin studio. This is Come On Home, bringing you the people, news, and views that make Irvin, Ravenna, and Estill County Kentucky's hometown. I'm your host, Goosehead Joe. Hope everybody's doing well out there today. It's a little bit blustery, and you know, make sure you hold your hat down on your head because it could get a little bit crazy. But we're going to jump right into it. I got a full studio this morning. I am joined by the Frisky crew from Estill County Schools, Mike Flynn, Mary Rader, and Sarah Stringfield. Welcome, folks.
Hey, Joe.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
We got them all packed in here, so make sure and stay on the mic whenever you're talking, all right? We want everybody to hear everything you all got to say. All right, we're talking about, again, Frisky, which I just love to say, and that is Family Resource and Youth Service Centers, FRYSC, and we're going to go into kind of the nuts and bolts of exactly what Frisky is, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what they actually do here in our community. So this is part of our ongoing effort, partnership with Estill County Schools, to let all you folks out there know exactly what makes our school district tick. So let's jump right into it. Mike, you've been around for, I think you're, what, at 122 years now, so you should be nearing retirement, I would think. But again, and I always have to pick on Mike about this, he is a vampire. We've established that because he looks exactly the same as when I was in middle school. So, you know, we were talking some hair gel and things like that, talking about kids earlier, but I'm sure that Mike has, he's got the corner on something, some magic ingredient. I don't know if he's, you know, rubbing some magic mud on his face or whatever, but he's doing pretty good. But and now with that introduction, Mike, just kind of let everybody know sort of how the Frisky initiative kind of came about.
Well, Joe, I'll tell you, the Family Resource Youth Service Centers came about with the CARA legislation of 1990, actually. When CARA came through, there were five strands of CARA. And one of those five strands was the Family Resource Youth Service Centers. And so basically, we're real excited this year about Family Resource Centers because we are in our 25th year of existence since right. The legislation was passed.
So wow.
we're celebrating our 25th year anniversary as far as the legislation that created us.
Right. That's pretty crazy. So this is actually something good that came out of CARA.
Yes. It's, the interesting thing about the five strands of CARA is that Family Resource Centers are the last remaining strand of the five strands.
Ah.
So we're very proud of the successes we've had over the last 25 years, not just here in Estill County, but statewide.
Definitely. All right. So 1990 mm-hmm. is when all that started. So when did everything start to take place here in Estill County?
The first centers actually started going, they started writing what they call grant applications mm-hmm. for the centers in 91 after the legislation was passed and they got the applications developed. And then our first centers actually came to Estill County in 92.
Okay.
We had a family resource center at West Irvin, mm-hmm. And then we also had one at Estill Springs.
Okay.
And then the one at West Irvin served... I'm going to get this straight. West Irvin was a standalone center, and Estill Springs served South Irvin, Irvin, and Ravenna at the time. So that's when we had all of those schools spread
right.
out all over
town. Right, and it was a very different landscape at that
time. Yes, and then actually as time moved along, we went to having a center at the middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, we started in January. That's when I started, in January of 93. And then we went from there to, actually, we picked up another center in Harget mm-hmm. Elementary when we had Harget Elementary that came on a year later. So we've had all our centers in place since 94.
Well, very cool. So, I mean, this really is, you said, you know, this is the last remaining part of CARA that it's still going and that it has been so successful and been able to help folks. So as far as you've kind of moved through history, so how many centers do we have now and kind of who's in charge?
Well, basically now we have four centers in existence. Mm-hmm. There's a high school center, which is got a brand new coordinator there, Charlotte Sutter.
Mm-hmm.
She replaced Carla Botthorff, who retired in the summer. And then, of course, we have the middle school, and I'm proud to say that I'm the only coordinator the middle school has ever had for 22 years. They can't get rid of me. I love it up there. And so we have a middle school youth service center, and then we have a family resource center at West Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know that Sarah is our coordinator for the West Irvin Family Resource Center. And then, of course, we have Estill Springs with Mary Rader, and she also takes care of South Irvin Element or Pre-K.
Yeah, you got to make sure you get
it all.
Get
all those names right.
West Irvin Intermediate.
Intermediate.
It's not elementary anymore.
West Irvin Intermediate. Yeah.
It's 22 years at the middle school. That's wow.
Yeah, it's been an exciting ride.
Well, especially, you know, you got to be a special person to deal effectively with middle school students.
I hear that. I'm not really sure, you know. Joe, I tell you, middle school kids are unique, and I love working with them.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that all the people at the middle school, you know, we all love what we do as far as working with middle school kids. I'll be honest with you, you do. I think at any age level, you have to have a calling to work with that age group.
That's true.
Because they all have their struggles and they all have their luxuries, you know?
Right.
Me personally, I substituted one time for 3 hours at pre-K. Mm-hmm. Never do it again as long as I live. You know, so it was. So I totally appreciate those folks. But then I talk to them, they're like, "Oh, how do you stay in middle school?"
That's
so,
true.
You know, so everybody just has their niche, and you know, we just had to find it and go with it.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's. I guess I would have a problem, you know, because I decided I was going to be a teacher at one point. That lasted for one semester. once I actually got to go and be with you know, teachers working and dealing with the different age groups, and I couldn't find my niche, so I had to get out of that.
Oh, and I'm glad you found it before you got all the way in.
No doubt. But, okay, so let's get into a little bit more nuts and bolts. Let's talk about the funding. So how exactly are the Family Resource and Youth Services Centers funded? Where does the money come from?
Okay, so we are a part of the state budget every year.
Okay.
So we, you know, we're just like any other state program. Every year, our legislators give us a budget to work from. We're a part of the state budget. And so basically, once the state budget's been set, then the Division of Family Resource Centers out of the state office sends us a funding formula to figure out how much money we're going to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they do is they give us X number of dollars. And this year, for example, it was $176 and some pennies per student on free lunch.
Okay.
So you take the number of students at my school on free lunch,
mm-hmm.
and that's how much money, and times that by that 176, and that's how much money this district received to provide services at the middle school level
right.
for our students.
So that's figured separately for each center?
Yes, sir. It's actually figured separately for each center. The only difference is all those dollars don't actually stay with those centers.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is they pay everyone's salary first, and then they redistribute it district wide so that each school has an equal portion
okay.
of money to serve. Because, you know, obviously it costs more money to pay me because I've been here 22 years.
Yeah.
Than it does some folks that has been here for three months. So, you know, there's a little bit of difference there. So the pay's a little bit different here and there. So in order to keep the services equal to the kids across the board, we're allowed to pull that salary money for all the coordinators out first and then redistribute the money to the schools based upon how many kids are on free lunch with the remaining money.
Right. That actually makes too much sense to really be a thing.
Yeah, well, it's one of the few things in state government that works really great.
It really is, and I mean, we're going to get more into actually the impact, but I'll go ahead and let you talk to just what is the general mission? Why do the centers exist?
Well, centers exist because the legislators saw a need to help students who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And so our overarching, if I guess you should say, mission statement is to remove non-cognitive barriers to student education. So it's those things that kids can't help that may not actually be in the classroom but the external factors that are impacting the kids' ability to learn.
Right.
Examples of that are, of course, you know, just basic need issues. You know, a kid, you know, if a kid doesn't have enough food at home to eat and they're not getting enough nourishment at home, then, you know, they're going to struggle when they get to school.
Because, right.
You know, so we are looking at those type things. But then, you know, there's also all those other external things as far as, you know, some kids are dealing with divorced families, some kids are dealing with death in the family. There's health issues. Sure. There's lots of external things that impact the classroom that a lot of people don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us go to work and we leave our lives at home or try to. Kids don't have that luxury.
Sure.
Most everything that they impact or in their external lives comes right to the classroom with them.
Mm-hmm.
So what our centers do is it allows us to provide services not only to students, but to families to see what we can do to help remove some of those barriers or to at least lighten the stress that created by some of those barriers.
Right. So kind of you fill the gap.
The gap, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's really cool. So without... You know, it's a fairly broad mission, so I'm guessing that gives you kind of some wiggle room on how to get things done.
Well, Joe, that's one of the unique parts of our program, and probably one of the reasons we're the last remaining strand of CARA,
mm-hmm.
is because the state does not come inside. They give us areas in which we have to work in, and we'll talk about those in a bit, but... once they've identified those areas, they do not give us cookie cutter programs to address those areas.
Right.
We're asked to do needs assessments of our teachers, our students, and our parents, determine what in those areas are the biggest needs, and then we're allowed to develop programs that specifically target those needs. And that's one of the reasons why we're successful statewide, is because we have been given that leeway to create very unique programs, not just in Estill County, but every county and every school that has a center in it is able to develop a program. And even if something like, say, you take it for example, if someone's going to focus on a career orientation program,
mm-hmm.
you know, it may look differently in 170 different counties because everybody is addressing it to meet the very specific needs of their student body,
right.
and their parents and their families. So I truly believe that's one of the reasons we've been successful for the last 25 years.
Well, yeah, and the holistic approach that you're not confined to the four walls of the school.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Now, just a semantics type thing. What's different family resource and youth service?
I tell the kids we do it just to confuse them when they get to middle school.
Well, and everybody else.
and to give you a little bit more clarification on that is, in the family resource centers, the idea of our legislators were is that when kids are really small, that's probably when you're going to have the greatest impact on entire family structures.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, once they get to middle school and high school, start developing a little bit of independence. They don't do as many things family-oriented.
Right.
And a lot of the needs and barriers that they have become very individualized. So what we do, what they've done is they call them family resource centers because when we talk later, Sarah's going to talk to you about some of the components that they address. And when you learn about those components, they're very family oriented,
yeah.
and family development oriented and trying to, you know, child development oriented. So, you know, they call them family resource centers because actually those centers are focusing on the entire family,
sure.
from birth all the way up to school age. And then when you get to middle school, that's when you start making those transitions into a lot of more individualized programs for kids that are trying to reach out there and find some independence and things like that. We still do a lot of things with families because, by all means, at middle school and high school both, we think families are our number one partner.
Right.
And we have the flexibility to bring families in. And so I seriously tease people all the time and say it's just to add a little bit more confusion to the middle school transition,
mm-hmm.
because we just don't do as much with family-oriented things as they do at family resource centers.
Right.
So it's really kind of comical, but when you stop and think about it. But
it makes sense. It really
does. One of those things that just makes sense that it takes a little getting used to once the kids make the transition.
Sure, sure. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. Mike has taken us through the entire existence of Frisky so far, but we're going to take a break and come back. Got to thank our sponsors, and one especially today. I want to say Alumi Studio has had a very busy year, but it's not over yet. Don't forget your holiday portraits and cards. The deadline is approaching fast. ILLUMI, it's Alumi Studio. Freelance on location portraiture where your heart desires. It's 586-215-6608. That's 586-215-6608. Visit illumi-studio.com. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. Again, I'm joined by Sarah Stringfield, Mary Rader, and Mike Flynn. We're talking about Frisky, the Family Resource and Youth Service Centers. Mike, you kind of led us through sort of the history of the program and kind of the 30,000-foot view. But as far as requirements, exactly what does the law require you to provide?
Well, we are actually given different things they call core components, and the core components are areas in which we're required to work in.
Mm-hmm.
And probably to start with family resource centers and talk about what they do. Sarah, would you like to?
Absolutely.
Take the mic.
Thank you. Family resource centers, we have five main components that we have to meet. And like Mike said, across the state, these are the five components that are outlined for family resource, but as far as how the programs look for each component, they're going to be very differently based on our family's needs. And we receive that information through our family needs assessments and our staff assessments at the family resource level. So Mary and I work very closely together because, if you're not aware, West Irvin just has 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade, where South Irvin and Estill Springs, they service the 0 to 3 all the way up to 2nd grade. So we work together on collaborating with a lot of the same programs because we do have a lot of the same families.
Mm-hmm.
So as I go through these, Mary's going to share some programs that she does that we collaborate together as well. But the first one that our first main component is full-time preschool child care for children 2 and 3 years of age, which those children are not enrolled in school yet. So that's where Mary works a lot of with those families. And one of the main things that we do through this component is to ensure that families know what services are available for child care. Some centers across the state, they actually have their own daycares that operate through their centers.
Right.
In our district, we do not do that because we do have the opportunity to refer families to daycares in our community that are certified.
Sure.
So we work with those centers and our families to make sure that if there is a need for daycare services, they know where they can go and receive those services.
Right.
We also work with Head Start. You know, we have the Head Start program over at South Irvin Pre-K Center as well. So we have children in our building who are 2 years old to preschool age.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So it's a great way for us to collaborate with families. It is a little crazy, especially in our tornado drill today, moving 2-year-olds.
Oh my gosh.
For that. But we have a great opportunity to collaborate with families who may have infants at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can help educate them on some needs for their smaller children.
And it's great through this component. Not only are we referring them to centers like daycares or Head Start, but they are already getting an opportunity to meet faces in the school district like Mary and I, bring them into the school, get an idea of what to expect in our schools once their child is enrolled. So it's just another friendly face. So when that first day comes, when they're actually going to be a child enrolled in our district, they know what to expect, and there's going to be a friendly face to greet them there in the morning. So,
right.
So we start building those relationships very early on. Our second component is after-school child care for children ages 4 through 12. So, again, that's something that Mary and I work very closely with. I have to say, at West Irvin, we work very closely with community partners to be able to provide after-school programming. That's one of the things that we really treasure at West Irvin because we do have a lot of working parents, and you know, being able to provide that service after school is very beneficial to them because they have schedules, and having that extra hour where their child can stay at school and have some extra instruction and to be able to meet community partners and learn from other people aside from those in our building every day is a really good learning opportunity. So we work, for instance, with the Extension Office. We have the Robotics Club through 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Cooking Club through the Family Consumer Science Agent, her assistant Jessica Webb. Those are actually two new clubs that we've started this year, and then also we have an after school art club. So those are just three programs that we have through the Family Resource Center, but of course there's other programs as well, as like academics and things like that. But we coordinate with those community partners to be able to provide those additional services for our families, for the students who are interested in participating in those.
Very cool. That was a mouthful. Get your breath real quick. And then also, which, and I make no, I try not to hide this. I do have a daughter at West Irvin, and my little boy's actually at South Irvin. We get regular one calls from West Irvin, and it's normally Miss Sarah who is telling us what's going on. So that's always nice. That's another thing that you got to pick up.
Yes, and I don't mind that so much. It's, everybody knows if they need to get something out there, they contact me, and I'm the one that does their one call. So it's kind of a running joke around school, but I don't mind it so much.
It, but I do get tickled, though, because anything that has to do with Mr. Cheney, it's always the computer voice. So when you hear the robot, then you know it must be Mr. Cheney.
That people don't realize how many practices I do sometimes. I delete and I'll re-record and delete sometimes to get those right. So we try to be professional and make sure that we get the most accurate information to our families in a timely manner. So,
But see, you're doing great on live radio. You ought to do one take on every one call.
I don't know about that. We'll see. We'll strive for that.
Well, you already referenced community partnerships. And I know just the work that I've been able to do with you all, that is core. It's paramount to you all achieving your mission. So would you like to talk, and I'll throw this out to all of you, anything that you'd like to talk about as far as community partnerships and other things you're able to achieve community-wide?
One of our another component that we have at the family resource level is families in training. Mm-hmm. And that is really where we work with other organizations like the HANDS program, where they service those families who don't have children in our school yet, but we want to go ahead and start building those relationships and seeing what the needs of those families are. So that's just one example of how in this component we do work with community partners. And so we have activities in our schools to where those families can come in and get familiar with our school. Again, meet a friendly face through Mary and I, the teachers, the principals, and the staff, and just to be able to start building those relationships. And then another program through that is our Tots in Actions, which Mary is going to talk a little bit about now.
Our Tots in Action program is designed to help students become acquainted with the school mm-hmm. at the ages of 3 and 4 prior to coming to preschool. So when they show up the first day, just like Sarah said earlier, they feel very comfortable and they feel ownership in the school and feel at home. But this year we've put a little bit of a different spin on it, and we are collaborating with adult education. Mm-hmm. So as the students are interacting with our teachers and our staff to become acquainted with the school, our parents are interacting with adult education and learning how to help encourage literacy at home and how to use lots of activities that they do on a daily basis to help educate their child. So that's a new partnership that we're doing this year that we're really excited about, and we've been working with Mary Skipper and adult education to make sure those parents are up to speed.
Very cool. That's neat stuff. And really it is neat when you start to look at the big picture and see all the different partnerships and all the different ways that the centers are plugged in to the activities that are going on in the community. And it all traces back to, I know, you know, with all the different school district folks that we have in here, you know, it's all about the kids and trying to make sure that the achievement is as high as it can be and that the kids are prepared and they're ready to face the world once they get all the way, you know, they're out of the district. So so being able to fill in these, again, you know, you're filling in the gap to make sure that there's as little as possible that stands in their way of being able to achieve what they need to. So yes, definitely. Very cool.
Let me add one thing real quick.
Please.
There, Joel, if you don't mind.
It's been killing you. You've been quiet for too long.
I had to be quiet too much. So, and I just wanted to touch back on that partnership piece that the ladies have been talking about. Because, you know, we talked earlier about how we're funded through the state. But, you know, the money we get for the state in the big picture is a very small portion of actually how we operate. Mm-hmm. The majority of our operation comes from partnerships within our community and surrounding communities. We could not be successful if it weren't for the many wonderful, generous, and willing volunteers and contributors to our programs. Because we could probably sit here and name all day long, and I'm afraid to even try because if I left somebody out, I'd feel so guilty when we got back to school.
Right.
But we would not be successful if it wasn't for the wonderful community partners and volunteers that we get out of Estill County. Some days I'm amazed at how people would just step up to the plate to help us fulfill the needs. And, you know, sometimes you'll be sitting there thinking, how can we pull this off? And it's like manna from heaven sometimes. Mm-hmm. Somebody will just show up and say, you know, I've got this going on, and can I help you? And it just seems like it all meshes. But I just can't say again how much we appreciate, how the school district appreciates, because it's not just our centers. Our community steps up for everything, for, you know, as a whole. And our school district has got a great support system through our community. And I just really didn't think I could leave here without making that statement.
Well, that's wonderful. And that's a recurring theme. There are so many very generous folks and hardworking folks that are willing to give of their time just to help make things better, mm-hmm. whatever that may be. So I'm glad you brought that up. It's always good to give a shout out to the good people, you
exactly.
know. Okay, what else do we have on our? Okay, we're moving forward to, we got Christmas partnerships. So who's going to take that? Is that you?
Well, real quick, I want to. There's two more components that we do through Family Resource.
We've glazed over two whole components,
and they're really important.
Well, take a deep breath and fire on it.
Well, I just want to. I don't want to leave here without talking about these two because, especially at West Irvin, and these are two of our main components that we focus a lot on, just because of our needs of our families. And one is family literacy services. One of the things that we really promote and are proud of are our family learning nights at West Irvin, and we host a family learning night every month. And it's an opportunity for our families, the children, and the parents, guardians, to come into our building and really have the opportunity to meet their teachers, to have a fun activity, and then to really learn how they can take the schoolwork from school and take it home, and to be able to, the parents can support their child in the home through their education. So it's really important that our families know that we do have those every month and that they are always encouraged to attend those. And we always do something fun. There's always a fun activity. We always have a good snack. And then first and foremost is we really support that education in the home, and we want to be able to teach and train our families of how they can support their child in the home, because they do come to us during the day, but when they come home, that education really needs to continue, and we want to be able to prepare them and give them the tools of how they can support their child in the home. So it's very important that you know, we don't leave that piece out about family literacy services through the center.
Right.
And that's just one example. We do other things as well. We also provide mentoring programs through different services. You know, our high school has been very instrumental in that in the past. Their leadership students have come down and worked with our students. And then we also partner with other community partners like the public library, who come in and provide services for our families. So there's lots of different programs that we're constantly doing. But again, that's one of our main initiatives, is to make sure that we're teaching our families how they can play an active role in their child's education. And then our last component is our health services and referrals. I know this is something we've all been really busy, especially coming back to school this year, is we work very closely with local community partners and statewide partners to make sure that we can provide health services for our students, because a lot of us take for granted being able to go to the dentist whenever we need to, or getting our vision screenings when needed. That's something we take for granted. So we work with community partners to be able to provide those services. So just a few weeks ago, we had the Kids First Dental Van at all of our schools, who came in and serviced our students, where they get cleanings there on site at our school. We also had the Quality Care for Kids in September. They provide vision and hearing screenings for our students, which that was a new program we started this year in Estill County, and it was very beneficial and went over very well. I know at West Irvin, we serviced over 200 students just through that screening alone. So
that's wonderful.
A lot of those students received glasses that had never had glasses before, because they didn't know there was a need there. So we're really excited about having that new program in our district. And then I also want to take a moment to just thank the Lions Club of Estill County. That's a new service that we started at West Irvin this year as well. They provided benchmark screenings for all our third and fifth grade students this year. So, again, if it wasn't for those community partners, there's no way we would be able to provide the services that we do. You know, we can have the ideas, but it really takes the feet of community partners to be able to initiate these programs and see them be successful. So we're very fortunate. You know, a lot of times people say Estill's a small town, but at the end of the day, we have a lot of people who will step up to the plate and ensure that our students' needs are met when needed. So
wonderful. Okay. You can take another deep breath.
Thank you. Do I talk too fast, Joe?
No, it's all right. You've got so much in your head that you're trying to get to come out of your mouth.
Sorry.
No, it's good stuff. It's really good stuff. Well, we're going to have to take another quick break, and we'll be back to talk more with the Frisky folks in just a moment. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. Once again, I am joined by Mike Flynn, Mary Rader, and Sarah Stringfield, and we're talking about family resource and youth service centers and all the evidently thousands of different things that they take care of. We just hearing from Sarah about kind of the core components of family resource, that side of the coin. Now, Mike, would you like to speak to how is it any different when you're talking about the older kids?
Well, I guess that's where it goes down to those individualized services, and we're starting to move away from family services.
Mm-hmm.
First, you know, Sarah mentioned that they do health services and referrals to health services, and that is a component that transfers over to the youth service centers as well. So, you know, we do participate in the dental clinics and the vision clinics and the hearing clinics and all those things, and so that piece of it carries over.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also pick up a substance abuse prevention referrals component, because, you know, that's middle school and high school is where you start looking at tobacco and alcohol and other drugs. So we have a whole component there where we provide programs educating our students and families about the dangers of getting involved in those. And then we also, as it progresses, if we have students that we feel like there is a need to have referrals to services that, you know, for treatment and,
right,
and things like that, then we also have a list of people that we refer those families to. So we have that component. Then we also have the whole career exploration and college readiness component.
Oh, it really kicks in.
Yeah, it kicks in middle school, you know, because nowadays they say the kids should have a good idea of what they want to do when they grow up when they're in the eighth grade. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that.
Man, I thought I was going to be digging up dinosaur bones when I was in eighth grade.
Me too. I definitely wasn't going to work in public education in eighth grade.
Yeah,
look at
right,
me now.
Yeah.
I joke with the kids about that all the time. They're like, because one of the things we do is a reality store.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have the kids take a career, and I make them pick the career by random, because otherwise everybody's a doctor making $160,000 a year.
Exactly.
And they're like, they'll pull out a career and they'll be like, hey, I don't want to be this job. And I'm like, hey, when I was your age, I wasn't going to be a teacher either. And look at me, been here 22 years.
Yeah.
So they kind of laugh at me and stuff. But so we have that whole career piece. So we have lots of programs and services that we focus on, not just the kids, but also educating parents, especially at college readiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, once kids move over from middle school to high school, there's the whole factor of like keys money and things that you have to know all early on.
Right.
Because, you know, that we know that keys money is based on GPA in the ninth grade all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we start educating that in the middle school, and then of course at the high school they hit that home and just really try to focus on it hard. So we have the career and college readiness piece. Then we also have a family crisis and mental health intervention piece that we focus on.
That sounds kind of heavy.
Yeah, it gets heavy.
It does.
And so, you know, that's where we're focusing on providing kids with, you know, programs. You know, sometimes it's maybe some self-esteem programs. It may be some parent loss programs.
Mm-hmm.
Or ways of dealing with loss. Then we also have just really just tons of issues that hit those teenage years, you know, where there's all those social emotional things that go on. So we have lots of programs that focus on those things. And then I've lost my train of thought. That never happens to me. Okay, so
22 years.
There you go, and that's the first time you got first privilege to it, Joe. Okay, and then so outside of that,
mm-hmm,
then you're looking at that's why I was trying to thought, because also at the middle school we don't do this one because it skips middle school, but at high school they have another component called job skills and employment placement. And so basically what they do at high school level then is give kids some trainings and programs to help them develop job skills.
Right.
And then also they provide them with resources and avenues to try to help them figure out how to find jobs if they need them in high school.
Okay.
So actually at the high school they had that whole extra component that's just for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really, you know, especially in a small community.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes there's not a lot of jobs available, but still yet, you know, through that center, they are providing them with information of where are, you know, the employable places.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, they're at that level teaching them how to be employable people, teaching them important job skills, interviewing skills.
That's huge.
Yes. It's so important that those kids learn that. And it don't only impact them in their career. Those skills also transfer over into getting to college and being successful in college, because
right,
you have to have those good communication skills for both of those areas.
That's exactly right.
So, and then I would just touch base again on another. We also are allowed to add what they call at the state level optional components.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you get into there is we all add things to our centers that when we do our needs assessments, we find things that sometimes don't quite fit in those areas that have been given to us, but we see that it's a great need in our communities. And so part of that flexibility we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
is they don't lock us into those five components that each of us have been given.
Mm-hmm.
We have the option of adding what they call optional components.
So you can create more work for yourself.
We can create more work for ourselves.
That's nice of them.
And we do not hesitate to do that. We have a component that's called educational enhancement, And basically, that's where we throw programs in that are, allow us to add programs to enhance the existing educational programs that are going on. So, you know, you may see a center sponsoring an arts program or something like that that can be tied into language arts class or the art class or, you know, or just all kinds of enhancement programs. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a component that we all share, and it's called basic needs. And the really funny thing about it is if you ask most people what a Family Resource or Youth Service Center is, the first thing they tell you is like, oh, they take care of basic needs. And yeah. Actually, it's not one of the things we even have to do. It's one of the things we choose to do because we know in our community that it's a need that we have.
Right.
Through those basic needs, we're allowed to focus on things like helping our kids and families with, you know, maybe they need assistance with food. Maybe they need assistance with clothing. I will throw some disclaimers out there that a lot of people don't understand. We are not ever allowed to pay or assist with utility bills. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand that. What you can do is call us and if you're having trouble with your utility bills, and we will tell you the people that we know that are willing to assist with those right. things. But as far as to ever say that a Family Resource Center or a Youth Service Center pays your utility bills, we cannot do that.
No, you can just make referrals.
We'll make referrals yeah. for those things. It's the same thing with housing. If you're having housing issues, we will. I can tell you how many times we have helped people find appropriate housing. And when I say help find it, basically that means we'll help them as far as finding the locations which have available housing. Mm-hmm. If people need assistance in filling out applications or don't know all the processes, you know, we'll help them do those type things. And that kind of encompasses that, basic needs. We do have, I think all of us, I can say all of us have clothing closets. So if a kid has an accident at school and mom or dad works in Lexington or
sure.
Frankfurt or someplace like that, or just can't get to the school, we have some, moderate side of usually it's used clothes that have been donated to us from the community,
yeah.
those community partners. And so we do have some things like that that we have accessible to students. And then I guess one of the big things is moving us over into the next topic that we wanted to talk about today was Christmas assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I will throw this out there that centers do not provide Christmas presents to students or children or families in the district. What we do is we act as a brokering service. We allow people to come to our schools and fill out the applications, and then we partner with other agencies and other individuals to be the distributing or clearinghouse for those applications.
Right.
And we really got into the business of doing this because it's a really touchy subject, Joe, and I'm going to try to touch it very lightly, because sometimes we know that there's a need in the community, that, you know, and we need to help those folks.
Exactly.
And we have a lot of people that are just willing to do that, step up and fulfill that need. But then we also have just a few people who like to get the need filled from four or five people.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that we have been instrumental in helping to do is if people will partner with us and let us be their clearinghouse, we will send applications to people. And then what happens is you eliminate the duplication of that service.
That makes so you can help the most kids possible.
Yes, yeah. Because what our mission is to make sure that, you know, as many kids possible that need the service receive it, and not that one family receives it from, you know, not that five people are sponsoring one family,
right.
And four families are going unsponsored.
Exactly.
So that has been a big undertaking on our part, something that we technically don't even have to do, but it's a way that we can help the community pull together and you know, be that, like I said, that brokerage or that clearinghouse for that. So we do set deadlines, and so as people get ready to start thinking about Christmas, we start taking applications at all of our schools. We send out notices to the families. It starts early, like in October,
mm-hmm.
and actually I think all of our deadlines was November 13th. That and some people say that's a little early, but basically when you're trying to redistribute, you know, in some cases several hundred kids' names to folks and then collect all that back and be able to inform those families whether or not they're picking those up at the school or somebody's delivering them back to them, we have to have that time frame to be able to get that done.
Sure.
So, and then we have a lot of other things. I'm going to let these ladies talk about some of their
Okay, well, Mike's tired now, so he's going
to... He needs a break. No. He needs to catch his breath. Just like Mike was saying about community partners for Christmas assistance, one of the huge things that really benefits us is those community partners who step up to the plate to sponsor students. We have individuals, we have community clubs like the Kiwanis Club, and then we have local organizations who also sponsor students. But one of the new organizations that has partnered with us, like Mike said, being a clearinghouse, is the Salvation Army out of Richmond, who services Estill County. And they, we met with them I guess it was mid-October, and for years they have been providing services to our families in Estill County, but we did not effectively communicate those families that they were serving versus the families that we were serving through our school district. So we are very thankful that we have the opportunity to work with them this year, because they're phenomenal. We did accept all the applications for them this year. So again, by us doing that, we are able to service more families who are in need and need that assistance through Christmas. One of the things through the Salvation Army is we do have Angel Tree set up around our community. And we have four locations. One is at Carhartt at the business offices, U.S. Bank, Citizens Guarantee Bank, and Meade. So, one, thankful for those partners who allowed us to put up a tree in their office spaces. But the purpose of these trees is if you go into one of these organizations and you see a tree, there's going to be angels on that tree. And it'll have the child's size, their a wish list item, and then their age. And it'll tell you if they're boy or girl. So if you are interested in sponsoring a child for Christmas, you can go visit one of these locations and pick up an angel. I know Mary and I went around yesterday and checked the trees, and there are still angels out there who are in need of sponsoring. So the deadline to pick up the angel and to bring the gifts back is December the 4th. So I know that's right around the corner. So if that's something you're thinking about doing, please go ahead and go visit one of those locations. Once you pick up the angel, you will purchase the gifts, and then you can return those to central office. Teresa Dawes, our community education coordinator, is receiving those gifts for us. So, and then we will make sure that they get in the appropriate hands of the families.
I think one of the most exciting things about our Salvation Army partnership as well is this year the families who have participated in Salvation Army will also receive a dinner box for their Christmas meal. So I think that's a new addition this year to allow those families to receive a gift in addition to the child.
And speaking of Christmas, but also Thanksgiving is next week. And one of the big things that our community is very thankful to be able to partner with is the Day of Hope at the Madison County Fairgrounds. And that program is solely put on by a group of churches out of Madison County who coordinate that. They coordinate the donations so that our families can be included in that from Estill County to be able to go to the fairgrounds. They provide services that day, such as like haircuts and dental visits, and they can get coats and gloves and hats for winter. And then before they leave, they get an actual grocery cart full of food for the Thanksgiving meal. So again, that is something we ourselves as Family Resource and Youth Service Centers could not provide by ourselves, but with that collaboration through that community partner, we're able to make sure that our families are included in that service as well. So we're very thankful for that, and that's actually this Saturday, so we're really excited for our families who get to participate.
That's wonderful. It really is. And you're just time and time again, just in this conversation, being able to extend the services that you could offer as just a center by making these partnerships and collaborations, that's just amazing. And it's so funny when you were talking about what you're required to do, but most of what you do is not what you're required to do. It's what you've chosen to take on as, I would even say, as personal missions in your positions with the center. So it's fantastic. It's really good stuff.
Well, one of the things I would like to add is that, like Mike said, to follow up, is a lot of people know us as providing those basic needs, which is something very important to our community. However, it is very important to us, too, to also support our students and our staff educationally through our centers. And that's a lot of the things that our community don't see, because that happens during the school day. And you know, that is our main goal, is to make sure that our students are learning and growing, and that we are preparing them for middle school and high school and on past that, whether that's they go directly into the workforce or go to college or wherever they may go. So I don't want us to not leave here and people not know that we also have those opportunities within the school day to really support our children educationally so that they are prepared, and again, that their parents are prepared to be able to support them educationally. So we do a lot, and we're always eager and looking for new opportunities too, as if we're not busy enough.
Gluttons for punishment. But it is, it's outstanding, and which I fall into the same group with a lot of other folks that are involved with community activities. You know, if I need to know something that has to do with the middle school, the first person I think of is to call Mike. You know, same thing with your all schools. You know, it's because you just know that the center director knows, at least if they don't know exactly, they at least know who they need to talk to find out. And so you all are kind of the clearinghouse, the liaison between each of your schools and the rest of the community, because folks know that you're going to know, and if you don't, you'll find out. And that's an amazing position, and I know it carries a lot of extra responsibility that, again, in most cases, you don't really have to take on, but you choose to. I will ask you all, and I know which, you know, Mike, you've been in the game a lot longer than these two ladies, but what would you say, and I know this will be tough, but what's the most rewarding part of doing what you do?
Joe, I would tell you that some of those most rewarding parts are the parts that sometimes we don't see. And I can say this because I've been here for 22 years, and I'm looking forward for these ladies to experience some of this, because it's those people that come back years later.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that come back years later, and they don't even say anything, but you bump into them in the street, and you see how well they're doing, and you know where they started and how hard they were struggling at the time. That's self-rewarding, just to see that you know that you had a small portion to play in that.
Yeah.
I'll give you a personal story of a kid that I, and I won't tell you names or anything, but I worked with a kid for a long time, one time for about 7 years. And I worked with the kid a whole lot, but I didn't get to work with the parents a whole lot. And so I just never really knew if the parents ever really knew what all services or how much effort was going into their kid to help. And,
mm-hmm.
And so 7 years went by, and I went to the high school graduation that year because this kid was actually graduating. And I get there, and the mother of this child is sitting in the very front row. You know, graduation is like at 7 at the time.
Yeah.
She had gotten there at 5 to make sure she got the front row seat.
Sure.
She was so excited about him being there, and I was just super excited that she was there. And so as I'm making my way to the faculty section, this mother gets up out of her seat and comes up to me, and she says, she said, I just want to say thank you. And I'm like, well, Lord, what for? And she said, because he wouldn't be here today if it weren't for you. And I was like, oh, I said, no, he would have been. And she looked at me, and with tears in her eyes, she said, no, really, he wouldn't have been. You know, it took 7 years to get there, and but still, yeah, that for me, the whole 22 years, if I don't experience that again, the whole 22 years I've invested in what I do was worth that one moment to see that mother's happiness and for that child.
Right.
And so when you see those little things come along over the years, and that those little things have happened a couple of times in very just small little places.
Sure.
And when you get those, I mean, it's worth every minute of it.
Right. That's a good story. You about got me choked up on that one, Mike. That's again, you know, and I know, let's see, Sarah, how long have you been?
I'm in my third year this
third year. Third year, and mm-hmm. Mary is fresh. She's right off the boat here, so she's just getting started. But I know just in the time that you all have had, you probably haven't been able to experience something like Mike just talked about, but I know in smaller capacities you've been able to see how you can impact the life of one kid at a time.
Absolutely. I think for me, it's the hope that you can see in some of these children's eyes is that you can see them one day and they can be discouraged, they can have low self-esteem, but if there's one, I mean, I think I speak for all of us saying that it's very genuine. We do this job not because it's a job, because it's what we love to do, and we want to see an impact in these child's lives, a positive impact. So just being able to help them and assist them, whether it is needing clothes or to take a shower or being able to get access to extra books so that they can take them home for their reading lessons or their homework. So being able to see that self-esteem and self-confidence and just to have pride in themselves that they can come to school and learn like every other child, I think that's very rewarding that we have the opportunity to serve those children, because I think that's something I know we can take for granted sometimes, that
right.
We all have those resources when some children don't. So I feel very blessed to be able to be in this position to witness that, because not everybody gets to see that every day. So
right.
it's very honoring and it's exciting.
So you all just on a day-to-day basis get to, in your way, level the playing field.
Absolutely.
And that's amazing. As far as nuts and bolts, do you think have we hit everything? I know we haven't hit everything, but
we've hit the high points.
Because Mike was here on the show with us not too long ago to talk about a whole other side of his world. It really is amazing. That's how you're staying young. Time can't catch up with you. But again, I admire you folks for what you do, and on behalf of the folks in the community who may not tell you to your face, but I know they talk about you behind your backs. but we definitely extend our sincere thanks for all the hard work that you all do.
Can I steal one more minute, Jim?
You can.
I just wanted to say one last thing, and that was, you know, we kind of joked today about my experience of being here 22 years, but I also want to say that I am super excited about where we're headed as far as family resource and youth service centers in Estill County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have three new coordinators. Basically, you know, like we said, Sarah's been here 3 years. Mary Rader and Charlotte Sutter have both come on this year. But I see the same drive and passion in those three ladies doing this job as they start out. As I've seen in the folks who started Family Resource Centers 22 years ago here in Estill County.
Right.
So I know we're headed to great places. They're very professional, very responsible. I put you guys through middle school, so I'm going to call you young ladies.
You can keep going.
You know, but I seriously, that's just me saying that I'm very excited about where we're headed, because I know that we're in the right hands. You know, I'm not going to be here much longer. 10 years at most, and I don't think that many. Seriously, I'm just really excited about where we're headed, because, I mean, they have that drive and they have that passion, and I just want them to know that they, and even in their early start, that they're super appreciated.
Awesome. Well, again, Sarah Stringfield, Mary Rader, Mike Flynn, the Frisky crew, representing Estill County Schools today, thank you all so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning, or
thank
this
you.
Afternoon.
Thank you.
Alrighty. We're going to take a quick break and be back with some tunes for you. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. I got to give another big shout out to another one of our sponsors, Illumi Studio. They've had a busy year, but it's not over yet. Don't forget your holiday portraits and cards. The deadline is approaching fast. They have freelance on location portraiture where your heart desires. The number is 586-215-6608 or illumi-studio.com. That's I-L-L-U-M-I. It's Illumi Studio. Got to give a big shout out there to Lauren Rothenhauser. She does an outstanding job. And so make sure and consider her when you're thinking about all of your holiday portrait needs. All right. Well, I'm going to do a tune for you here. We've been talking all about the community this morning, and I'm going to put one on here for by my good buddy Stan Neese. I've known Stanley since we were little kids. So I'm going to do a tune here by him. This was the winner of the Rock the River Town Estill County Anthem we did a couple years back. This is his song reminiscent of growing up in Estill County. This is called Big Town.
I got a cooler full of beer and a lot of friends too. Don't even try to say that it's a backwards little town, 'cause I just can't let you put her down. And I toss and I turn and I hang my soul on a riverbank and a fishing pole. I don't worry much about what I got or who I know. And I scream and I shout and I'm up and down, and I played a fool and I've been around. I'm just a southern boy and I love to wear a southern crown. I don't need your big town. Yeah, I don't need your big town. I don't need your big town. Yeah, I don't need your big town. I shot basketball every single day, and my backyard is where I learned to play. But I make
and try to say that it's a stupid little place. 'Cause I hope that's just the way it stays. And I toss and I turn and I hang my soul on a riverbank and a fishing pole. I don't worry much about what I gotta really know. And I scream and I shout and I'm up and down, and I played a fool and I've been around. I'm just a southern boy and I love to wear a southern crown. I don't need your big town. Yeah, I don't need your big town. Water hole in the dog days of May. Right. Football on a Friday night. I need an alleyway at the broad moonlight. I need a great church 'cause the Lord knows I'm a sight. And I toss and I turn and I hang my soul on a riverbank and a fishing pole. I don't worry much about what I got or who I know. Just a southern boy and I love to wear a southern crown. And if you find me there, you know that I say loud, I don't need your big town. Yeah, I don't need your big town. I don't need your big town. Yeah, I don't need your big town.
Turn around, and if you see my reflection.
Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. I followed up there with Little Dixie Chicks. If you haven't heard yet, they have announced a North American tour coming up next year. So I know my wife is really excited about that. Of course, the Chicks have been on sabbatical. They've been, you know, raising their families and taking it easy a little bit for quite a few years now. So I'd seen a little while ago that they had announced some tour dates in Europe. So I was hoping it was just a matter of time. And I also hope that the tickets aren't so outrageously expensive that you know, regular people can't go see them. So, but yeah, we're definitely going to be checking into that. Those girls can just, they can flat out play and sing and just really good artists. And of course, that was a landslide there. Of course, it was a remake. But in my opinion, that's one of the few remakes that rivals right up there with the original. So I got to give credit where credit's due. And the Dixie Chicks are just something awesome. Now, I'll tell you some other folks that are awesome from a little bit closer to here. Of course, last week I talked a little bit about Ash Wednesday. Of course, singing and on guitar, we got Zach Barnett there. We got a few other folks from Estill and Powell counties that are that make up the rest of Ash Wednesday, and they're going to be at the Paddy Wagon this Friday, starting at 9. The Paddy Wagon, they're downtown Richmond. And also, of course, you know, and I gave them some props last week and played you another kind of a solo song by Zach and a good friend of mine. Well, also got some other friends. We're pretty much taking over the Paddy Wagon this weekend. Ash Wednesday on Friday night, then on Saturday night at 9, you've got one of my faves, the Jenkins Twins. They're appearing with another great artist, Kyle Douglas. And of course, the Jenkies, they've still been rolling around and doing some different things here and there. And follow them on Facebook. They'll keep you posted. They've been performing on some different, you know, you got the internet radio, you got the internet, the video blogs and all those kind of things. And it's all really great stuff, ways to see them performing live. But there's no better way than seeing them live in the flesh, this, Saturday night at 9 at the Paddy Wagon in Richmond. Again, Ash Wednesday this Friday at the Paddy Wagon starts at 9. The Jenkins Twins on Saturday starting with at 9, appearing with Kyle Douglas. So with that, I think it's time that I give a little Jenkins love here. We're going to do a little twofer for you. Here are a couple cuts off of Jellico, their LP, and this is the title track.
Every day seems to get further away, and time don't fly when we're living this way. I got you on my mind, but what can I say? My map for tomorrow leads me back to today. Well, I try to forget you, oh, goodbye, Jellico. You're sinking in me like a rolling stone. Goodbye, foggy mountain tops. Well, I try to forget you, but you know just what I want. In the rain, late night standing there, forms a silhouette of our memories. Every time I get stuck in my head, the words that you said keep me wondering. Well, I try to forget you. Rolling Stone.
low. You're sinking in me like a rolling stone. Goodbye, foggy mountain top. Well, I try to forget you, oh yeah, but you know just what I want.
This is Come On Home with Goosehead Joe, and I believe it's holiday time. Time to talk about the holidays, observances, historic dates, celebrity birthdays. We throw a little bit of everything in there for this week of Wednesday, November the 18th through Tuesday, November 24th. All right, let's jump into it. Today is Mickey Mouse Day. I'm assuming, I couldn't find anything on it. I'm guessing it's Mickey Mouse's birthday or when Steamboat Willie first hit movie theaters or something. But it's a day to celebrate Mickey and evidently all things Walt Disney. So yeah, if you're one of those folks who is a bit of a Disney nut, then it's a day for you. It's also National Apple Cider Day. You know, there's not much better than a good hot cup of that that mulled apple cider. That's just good stuff. That just says, you know, it puts you in the holiday spirit, I guess. Today's also, this is kind of funny, it's Push Button Phone Day. Yeah, I mean, I need to find out when Rotary Phone Day is, because I know for sure my kids wouldn't really understand what they did. But even just going to a push button phone, that's, you know, that's different than touching a magic screen that just knows which number you're touching. Yeah, the world we live in. It's also National Educational Support Professionals Day. So, you know, all the folks that make schools run who aren't teaching in the classroom. You got all the different folks that are supporting the education of our kids, and they are just as important to make everything run. You can imagine, I know a lot of my teacher friends, if somebody's not running the school, then you can't teach, you know? So a big shout out to all you folks out there who are supporting the education of our students. Again, I gave her a shout out a couple weeks ago at our live event there at the high school, but Kim Malicote down there at Estill Springs, I hope somebody gets her a nice Searle Ball for educational support professionals today. There you go, Kim. A few, let's see, through history. On today, let's see, this day back in 1883, railroads created the first time zones, which this is a really cool one of those little historic tidbits. Before this day in 1883, like every little town along the railroad had its own time zone, because pretty much every town set noon at high noon when the sun was directly overhead. So it was just a minute or two different as you went down the line. And when you were going from one big city to another, they had to list all the stops along the way based on those local times plus on the time you were leaving from, and that would just be a mess. So the railroads in the U.S. and Canada decided at noon on 11/18/1883, that was noon, and then they broke it into four time zones. So pretty cool. That's that was a big deal, really. On this day back in 2006, Tom Cruise married Katie Holmes. Just thought that was an interesting tidbit. And on this day back in 1966, Sandy Koufax, the great pitcher, retired from baseball. He had terrible arthritis in his pitching arm, and at that time, you really couldn't just have surgery on it and be back the next year. It was pretty much the end of your career, so he went ahead and retired. Had a great, great career. A couple birthdays today. Funny man Kevin Nealon is 62, and actor Owen Wilson is 47. Okay, tomorrow, November the 19th, it is International Men's Day. So I don't know if that means if you're a man you should celebrate or if you're not a man you should celebrate, but it is Men's Day nonetheless. It is Rocky and Bullwinkle Day, and if you're too young to really remember Rocky and Bullwinkle, then that's a shame, because it was just that made Saturday morning cartoons, no doubt about it. It is, this probably goes along with the fact that it's International Men's Day tomorrow. It's also World Toilet Day. But you don't really think about it. Without the toilet that we have, that we know and love, you know, the quality of life would just be so much worse. Think about how much worse it could be if nobody had ever come up with the flush toilet. Really think about it. It's one of those things that you take for granted. And it's also Have a Bad Day Day. So if you just need an excuse to have a bad day tomorrow, there's your excuse. Just go ahead and do it. A couple of historic dates. On November 19th, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address. That's the 67 years ago. Yeah, that one. And then in 1975, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest debuted in theaters, and that turned out to be Jack Nicholson's first Oscar for his outstanding performance in that film. A few birthdays tomorrow. Actresses Meg Ryan turns 54, and then Jodie Foster turns 53. Late Night King Larry King, see what I did there? He turns 82. And the man who colorized all your favorite old movies, Ted Turner, turns 77. Moving on to Friday, November the 20th, it's National Peanut Butter Fudge Day. And once again, if you have a really good recipe for peanut butter fudge, make sure and go ahead and make up a batch. Bring it down here. Goosehead Joe will definitely try it out for you. And it's also Name Your PC Day. I don't think I'll do that, but you know, does your computer really need a name? You know, your car is one thing, your car or your truck, if you got a funny name to call it, whatever, or your spouse. But do you really need to name your computer? This holiday thinks so. Let's see. A few historic dates. On November 20th, 1923, A gentleman named Garrett Morgan patented the three-position traffic signal. Now, this wasn't the first traffic light. There had already been one in London, but he's the first person to put the yellow light in the middle, the one that we still use today. An interesting thing about Garrett Morgan, he was the son of two former slaves. He was born in Kentucky. I believe it was near Bowling Green. And he ended up being a very successful newspaper man in Cleveland and patented the three-position traffic signal. Pretty cool. In 1947, on November 20th, Princess Elizabeth married Philip Mountbatten. Of course, that's Prince Philip. And 5 years later, she became Queen Elizabeth II of the UK. And then on November 20th, 1982, and this is, it's called The Play. This was when Cal beat Stanford, when the band was blocking the field. John Elway was the great quarterback for Stanford. They were ahead. There were just a few seconds left, and they lateraled the ball. Cal lateraled the ball all over the field, and the band had already come on the field. They ran through the band to score a touchdown and win the game, and it really is cool. Look it up on YouTube. I'm sure it's on there. Fantastic. It's one of those things that really shouldn't have happened, but it did. A few birthdays on Friday. Vice President Joe Biden is 73. And then a couple country stars. Josh Turner turns 38. And Dierks Bentley turns 40 on to Saturday. It is Guinness World Record Day. So if you've ever thought about trying to break a world record, then Saturday is your day to try. It's the National Day of Play, not to be confused with the Worldwide Day of Play, but another excuse to get your kids outside and have them play, and then you play with them. Ironically, Saturday is also World Television Day. I don't know how that works together, but hey, just roll with it. Let's see, on November 21st, 1877, Thomas Edison had his first great invention, and that was the phonograph. Of course, the precursor to the record player, which is also now obsolete, but it's making a comeback slowly and in dark circles. On 11/21/1976, premiering in theaters, Rocky. Yeah, one of the greatest, at least the greatest sports films of all time. And it just, you can't watch it without getting fired up every single time. Birthdays on Saturday. Former football player and current daytime television host Michael Strahan turns 44. Pop singer Carly Rae Jepsen turns 30. And one of my favorite Cincinnati Reds of all time, Ken Griffey Jr., turns 46. On to Sunday, November 22nd. It is Mother Goose Day, so a great day to break out the nursery rhymes. And through history here, back in 1718... a man named Edward Teach was killed off the coast of North Carolina. You may know him better as Blackbeard. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The report. So he used to put like put stuff in his beard and set it on fire so it looked like his beard was on fire when he was fighting to try to mess with people's heads. Yeah. Bad dude. Of course, November 22nd, 1963 is when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. Definitely a day that that changed the United States. No doubt about that. Then on a lot lighter, on November 22nd, 1975, number one on the U.S. pop charts, Casey and the Sunshine Band, That's the Way I Like It. And then in 1986, Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history. A couple birthdays on Sunday. Actress and one of my very favorites, Scarlett Johansson, turns 31. And a former outstanding actress and now a seller of yogurt to keep you regular, Jamie Lee Curtis, is 57 on Sunday. Okay, let's move on. Monday is National Espresso Day. Now, this is one of my pet peeves. It's not espresso. It's an S. Espresso. Espresso. Yeah, which all that, it's an Italian. I don't know what it actually says in Italian, but it means really, really strong coffee with a lot of caffeine in it. If you enjoy espresso, I would recommend stop down at Time on Broadway here in Irvine. They They have outstanding baristas that can make wonderful, wonderful things for you. Whether or not you like espresso, National Espresso Day is a good excuse for you to stop in there. I recommend the frozen hot chocolate. It will blow your mind. I know it sounds weird, frozen hot chocolate. No, trust me, it's amazing. And then Monday's also Doctor Who Day. For all you Whovians out there, good day to celebrate. Maybe put on your scarf and your fez. Let's see, history. On 11/23/1936, the first issue of Life magazine was published. And then another little football trivia here for you. November 23rd, 1984, Boston College won on a Hail Mary thrown by Doug Flutie. And without that happening, we never would have had Flutie Flakes. So another outstanding play to look up on YouTube. A couple birthdays on Monday, and whew, here we go. Miley Cyrus turns 23. Seems like she's been around forever. And then someone you don't hear about much anymore, and I'm thankful for it, Snooki from Jersey Shore. She turns 28. All right, let's round it out here. On Tuesday, 11/24, it's Celebrate Your Unique Talent Day. Now, everyone has a unique talent, whether you know it or not. You may just not have discovered it yet. I know mine. I can make my eyebrows dance. Yeah, I know. It sounds weird. I didn't say it was useful. It just has to be unique. Most people can raise their eyebrows, but can you raise them one at a time and do it back and forth? That is my unique talent. I can make them dance to the rhythm of the music. Yeah, I ought to charge admission. It is fantastic. Not really, but it's unique. A few dates in history on 11/24. Back in 1963, following the assassination of President Kennedy, Jack Ruby killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Another very well-documented point in history. And then in 1993, the late, great Robin Williams starred in Mrs. Doubtfire, which hit theaters on November 24th, 1993. One of the all-time great movies to watch with your kids. It's just hilarious. Robin Williams was a genius. A few birthdays on Tuesday. Actress Katherine Heigl turns 37. Actor Colin Hanks turns 38. And basketball great Oscar Robertson turns 77. So there you have holidays, observances, celebrity birthdays, historic dates of note, and all that for November 18th through November the 24th. We'll take a quick break and be back with a few more tunes. You're listening to Come On Home. This is Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. I tell you what, how about we just get right into a little bit of Larry Sparks here. Here's Tennessee 1949.
I wonder if it's raining in the mountains. I wonder how the old town looks today. And if the church is there beside the river, could I go back and find where Mama lay? Does life still go to sleep just after sunset? Are the berries still as big on the vine? Do old men sit and talk about the old days the way they did in 1949? Oh, 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 how I'd like to be back in the hills of Tennessee. Oh, 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 it would be so fine if I could just go back to 1949. I wonder if by chance they might remember a teenage boy so wild and fancy free, who always loved guitars and country music. If I went back, would they remember me? I wonder what became of Catherine Akers, the girl who broke my heart at 17. I barely can remember what she looked like. 30 years ago, she was my dream. Oh, 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 how I'd like to be back in the hills of Tennessee. Oh, 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 it could be so fine if I could just go back to 1949. For many years I've searched the wide world over for what I don't recall and didn't find. And now I'm searching pictures in my memory for Tennessee 1949. Oh, 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 how I'd like to be back in the hills of Tennessee. Oh, 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 it could be so fine if I could just go back to 1949.
If you're not a regular Goosehead, that was Goose Creek Symphony, one of their definitely their most different songs, called Merry Go Round. That's off the Oh So Special album that they put out right around 1990 when they came back on the scene. I've always liked it. It just makes you feel good. Got that carnival feel to it and what have you. But we're getting ready to take a break. I needed to give a shout out here to all the sponsors of Come On Home that make it possible. White House Clinic, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Bank, Big E Insurance, the Animal Clinic of Estill County, and also Illumi Studio. Illumi Studio has had a very busy year, but it's not over yet. Don't forget your holiday portraits and cards. The deadline is approaching fast. Illumi Studio offers freelance on-location portraiture where your heart desires. It's 586-215-6608. That's 586-215-6608. Illumi-studio.com. I-L-L-U-M-I. It's Illumi Studio. We'll be right back. You're listening to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. We're in the home stretch for this week's show, but we got time to sneak in maybe a couple more. One thing that I definitely need to go ahead and play right now is a little fight song from the University of Kentucky. Got to give a shout out to the Cats. Yeah, that's weird. It's weird for me to talk over music, especially when it's a fight song. I got to be cheering. But, of course, and I hope this isn't a spoiler for anybody if you've got it DVR'd, but I'm sure you've heard over the course of the day, the Cats pulled out a big win against the Duke Blue Devils, our natural rival, last night, and they did it. It was a heck of a ball game. This team is going to be really, really fun to watch. So, make sure whenever they're on, make sure to watch them because, you know, and I even posted something about it on Facebook last night. There's so much crazy and scary stuff going on in the world right now, but, getting to sit down for a couple hours and watch my Cats beat Duke, you know, it might be selfish, but at least where I come from right now, all was right with the world. You know, we at least got a night off from all the craziness that surrounds us all the time, and we could just be proud of our team and watch them beat the guys that we dislike the most, I guess you want to say. We don't want to say hate. We don't really hate them, but we really, really don't like them. Now, Leitner, that's different. He gets his own category. All right, well, I'll tell you, you know, I'm getting a little fired up here. Let's just chill out just a little bit. How about a little Otis Redding?
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
that lonesome whippoorwill. Up on the hillside, the moon is shining. The boys are sitting round the moonshine still. Sometimes you hear a little music, the kind that thrills you to your soul. Sometimes it's bluegrass and sometimes it's brown grass. Sometimes it's rock and roll. And it's oh so, oh so, oh so special. Oh so special. Oh, so special to me.
Jump right into it there. Put a little Goose Creek in there. Got to sneak one in wherever I get a chance. And that just about brings us to the end of this week's Come On Home. Got to say another big thank you to the Frisky crew, Sarah Stringfield, Mary Rader, and Mike Flynn from their respective Family Resource and Youth Service Centers. They had a lot of great information and some awesome stories this morning. So I really appreciate you. This afternoon, man, this day's getting longer all the time. but as for me, I'm out of here. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday and a great week to come. So in this week, staring us in the face, please be kind to yourself and be kind to one another. Have a good one, everybody.
How could life be so cold? Where did all the water go that my boat was floating on yesterday? Has my ship run aground, or have I finally found that the ocean I was on was just a bay? And as I stand here on the shore, I can hear the ocean roar. The tide's gone out, I'm stranded on my own. Not a love, not a friend, but on God I can depend to show me the light and safely lead me home. And I'll sing those old songs again, and I'll thank the Lord for every place I've been, and I'll start my life anew some sweet day, singing praise the Lord for showing me the way. Singing praise the Lord for sure.